There are two candidates for Alaska's only congressional seat, Don Young and Elise Galvin.
I'm Elise Galvin, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My family came up in World War II serving. I am an independent, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to speak with folks. It's been great traveling all around Western Alaska and hearing about what people care about.
This is Congressman Don Young, your congressman for all of Alaska. I've been congressman now for 45 years. Each year or every 2 years, I come up for renewing my contract, and we believe, and I think you believe, we've been very successful in achieving what you asked me to do, and that's to speak for you back in Washington, D.C. We have worked very hard to implement laws that affect the state of Alaska. I happen to have the largest number of laws passed by a congressman in the history of Congress, 81. It'll be 84 before this session is over. We have a lame duck session signed by presidents, and they all relate to someone in Alaska, but about 10. They're what we call national or international bills, but most of them are all because of a community. You know, I go all the way back to the port out here, having it rebuilt and built out. A lot of different things in this region that we've worked on, and I've continued working on it.
This is Galvin's first time running for the congressional seat. What made you decide to run for Congress, and kind of when did you decide? What does the timeline look like?
It was actually about in November, so 10 months, 11 months ago. For the last 4.5 years, I've been working to ensure that every single Alaskan child had the opportunity for a quality public education. I see this as a non-starter. I mean, it's just how we should ensure that everyone can reach their dreams. And so in that work, which is, of course, nonpartisan, I worked in Juneau and in D.C. as an advocate. I was a volunteer. I grew a group from 40 parents and grandparents and community members to over 4,000. And we worked really hard to make sure that public education stayed on the front burner and that, of course, it needs predictable, adequate funding. But also there are some things that we can do in our own communities to work together, partner, and lift every child up. So that's some of the work that I've done. Everything from reading letters from Alaskans across the state, even from Nome, on the Capitol steps. I read for 10 hours and I did things like a telethon in my living room to talk about Betsy DeVos and whether or not she should be the leader of public education. And so in that work, I really got to know the process of how bills get passed and whether or not they reflect our values. And I decided that we needed to do something differently this year if we really want to get things done. We need to change up the leadership to be more willing to reflect what we value. And with that in mind, what I did was joined a group called Alaska Women Ascend. And that group was, I was going to help others get elected. That was the plan. But as I learned about the history of women in policymaking, I learned about how important it is. I learned about what it takes to make a candidate strong. And more importantly, how to be strong as a public servant and a leader in government. And once I put all of those puzzle pieces together, it became clear that it's time for me to step up.
Galvin spoke on how she planned to serve Western Alaska specifically, if elected.
So I'm still learning more about Nome specifically, and I don't think each Western area has the same issues. But I know that we need to ensure that our families can be in sustainable jobs. That's really key, that we can afford to live here. Housing is super expensive. An area that we need to work on is ensuring that we have opportunity to afford to live here and that our elders aren't moving out because they see, oh, geez, this is getting worse and worse and I can't live here on my Social Security, which, by the way, is not keeping up with cost of living at all. Some time ago, it had been incrementally moving up, and right now what we're looking at is Social Security and Medicare are both being threatened. Where we are experiencing climate change the most, which is our western region, particularly up north, we have villages sinking into the water. We need to be talking about that and acknowledging that. And on the federal level, we need to be very supportive of what Alaska knows is best in terms of mitigation and research and even building homes. So this takes me back to the housing issue. We've got a lot of opportunity in this climate change environment wherein we should be investing in some newer ways of building homes, which allow us to live here because of the lower cost of the utilities. It would allow us to be able to live here in perpetuity. And I think that's really important to use some of our newer ways of building homes with energy that is renewable. We have some already built. We have some great prototypes. Some of them have even been put out there in some of the rural areas. And I'd like to see us really invest in that here. And that would also bring jobs. So it'd be kind of like a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. Win because we're being more global stewards. A win because we're able to lower our costs of utilities and have more housing. And then a win because of the jobs. So I look forward to being a champion for that in Washington. I'd like us to be really looking to and listening to our engineers out of UAF and the other universities. Also, broadband. That's a really big issue in terms of getting high speed. And I'm hearing it all over Alaska, but in Western Alaska too. Some get it and some don't. It's really hit and miss. And those contracts are decided in Washington. So I really look forward to pulling them out. I think that they have been confidential.
Galvin also addressed safety in Western Alaskan communities.
People are not only worried about the addictions and what sort of how that's impacting us in terms of safety, but it's also, we used to have here National Guard, and there is no longer that. So I'm thinking about national security as well. So national security is important because we know we're facing China and Russia, more importantly. China is more of a friend in trade, but Russia and North Korea, our relationships have been spotty lately. And I think it's important that we know that we have some protections up here all the way up and down the coastline. So that I'm looking at ports, for example, finding a way to large vessel ports. Also, in terms of our security around addictions and how that behavior may, not always, but sometimes it extends itself when people are very desperate to some behavior that is very scary to our families. I think in that case, we need to look out whether or not we are really providing enough resources for our treatment in addictions and that we have the resources here locally. That's one thing that I worry about, that we don't have the ability for our troubled citizens to be able to stay in their homes or near their families and still get their resources.
On Galvin's campaign website, she states she isn't running to bring Washington values to Alaska. She's running to bring Alaskan needs and ideals to Washington. She elaborated on this sentiment.
I think the number one issue I've heard about more than anything else is healthcare, for example. And we've got a really great model here that is working. It's serving over 100,000 Alaskans. It serves Alaskan natives and also 25% of our veterans here. And we're doing it in a way that is bringing higher wellness outcomes, and it's at half the cost. I think we've got a really great example here of something for us to bring to Washington. We also have a way of working together. We really do. We always have. That might be part of how we get through the winters. We know to look after our neighbor. We always celebrate when we do look after our neighbors. It's the right thing to do. We look after our elders. We look after our youngest. We have that spirit that I think should be brought back to Washington. I think it's something we can be proud of in Alaska.
Galvin also wanted to make it clear that her campaign is funded entirely by small donors.
I'm not taking any corporate PAC money whatsoever. Unlike, I don't think that there's ever been anyone at this level who has agreed to do this. And so it's sort of a new thing for Alaska. I think it's time. And I hope that this helps to engender more trust and faith in government. It's time to bring that back.
Congressman Don Young has been serving for the last 45 years. He is the nation's longest-running congressional member currently in office. In a separate interview, I asked Don Young what issues are important to him this time around.
I don't pick the issues. A lot of people, again, let's look at the term representative. I represent the people of Alaska, and when they come to me with a problem that the federal government is creating, or they need a change in the law, or a beginning of a new law that helps the people that live in Alaska, that's my job. I've been very good at that. A lot of people come in and they say they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and that's really inappropriate, I believe, because they're not really being a legislator or a congressman. They're being a blowhard, and I think that's incorrect, so I've done this my whole career. Sometimes people will come to me and I can't do, and I'll tell them up front, you can't do this, this is against the rules, I'm not going to do it, but you know, I'm glad you came to talk to me. Most of the time I can get something done.
What's an example of a time that that's happened where somebody has come to you with something?
Well, you know, to give you an example, even the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline, which everybody's talking about, the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline and the permanent dividend check. The state came to me and the people of Alaska said, we need to pass this, and the nation agreed with me. I introduced a bill, was introduced to have an exemption to any lawsuits. Luckily, I was very fortunate to have a chairman of the committee, John Melcher, who was from Montana, got enthusiastic about the legislation, and we were able to pass it out of the committee, even when I was the minority, by 3 votes. And took it to the floor. We passed it by 7 votes on the floor. They went to the Senate. The Senate passed the bill. Then we went to conference, and we probably wrote one of the better pieces of legislation to affect this state, and that was a result because I was asked to do it. 200-mile limit, the fishing provisions was very, very important. That was my bill. Started in the House. Most major pieces of legislation that affect the state of Alaska have come through my committee and why I've been serving on it.
As to how he plans on serving Western Alaska, Young focused mostly on the prospect of ports.
Well, of course, the Coast Guard and the possibility of a port. That's a big thing we've been working on. I helped build the first port, and we're working on possibility of making this the Arctic port. There's other people interested, and I've tried to explain to the Coast Guard and the Congress that we have more room than for one port. I would say that Point Clarence will have a port probably, and Nome will have one. And there's a strong possibility one could be built in Point Blossom out of Kotzebue. And the action in the globe is going to be in the Arctic. It's not going to be lower 48. So we need those ports. A lot of people talk about icebreakers. They're well and good, but just not only icebreakers. You have to have ports, so you have to have navigational aids. I have also passed a bill that's beginning to be done now, the mapping the ocean floor, which is crucially important if we're to have the transportation ability to move product across the Northwest Passage, which you just saw that one ship just moved through from Russia to China or vice versa, and from Europe. And that was a very big strike. This is not new. This is the beginning of, the opening of the Arctic. And that's really, we are an Arctic nation, and I'm deeply involved in that.
Young also addressed adapting to the region's changing climate.
There has to be more money put in the science programs to study the oceans, the effect upon the migration of fish because of climate change, which will occur. Do we readjust the areas which we fish? And a lot of things that we are working on now, because we set aside, we, the United States, agreed to it, that there will be no fishing in the Arctic above a certain point until we finally figure out how it's going to be distributed and what it's going to migrate to. And this is an issue that affects Alaska because we have a lot of Alaskans in the CDQ program, which I believe Nome is the last area they have one, and then it goes further south. And there's none below the Aleutian Change, and all the rest of them are, you know, Dillingham and Norton Sound and the whole area. But it's been very beneficial. As the fish migrate, how is it going to adjust for villages like Kotzebue, Wainwright, Point Hope, and Barrow? Those are things we have to be looking at. The second thing goes back to, frankly, the icebreakers, the cutters, navigational system, mapping of the ocean, the whole better understanding, because China and Russia are deeply involved in trying to conquer the Arctic, taking our resources away from us, and we can't allow the people to do that. It's hard that a lot of people in Kansas or Iowa or New York or New Jersey understand we're an Arctic nation. It just doesn't ring a bell, and our job is to try to educate them. And I think that the state has a responsibility. I do. I'm on the Ocean Caucus. and which are dealing with oceans. I'm on the Arctic Caucus, all those things that we work trying to express and educate people about what we think we can do to adapt.
One area that Galvin and Young disagree is health care.
I voted against Obamacare numerous times and will continue to do it because I think it's wrong. I've achieved one goal. The idea that the government could tell you you have to buy health care, if you're not, you have to pay a fine, is wrong. That's not America. But it was a bad bill. I believe it's a bill that does not do the job. We didn't have an opportunity to sit down with a bipartisan workmanship and get the bill done so people do have health care. Insurance is not health care. We have to look at what we can provide or what people can pay for, what can be accepted, and the whole responsibility of one another on health care. And I've said, let's go back to the drawing board. I know we hear a lot about pre-existing conditions. There's nobody that argues against that. We do believe you ought to be able to insure your pre-existing condition. We do believe we should be able to, we call pool our sources so we probably get a cheaper rate or premium. We can't do that. We would like to do that. That's not done under the Obamacare bill. The other factor is we think we should be able to go across state lines. Now, that'll go down. If I want to buy health care from Texas, I should be able to do that. But there's a provision that state disallows that, and the state has to, look at this and maybe start saying, okay, let's see if we can make this a national exchange so we can lower the premium. A lot of people's premiums have gone up 500%, and the big thing is they're really not able to get the health care that they're paying for. And so we just sort of backwards. And I have the last thing. I think that there's a responsibility of each individual, too, about how they take care of themselves. And some people don't like me to say that, but I say it respectfully. Someone that abuses themselves, and then they want someone to pay for their health care, I don't think that's appropriate either.
Both candidates shared final comments on why they're fit for the job.
Well, the main thing is I'm the most competent one for the job. And with the knowledge I have and gained the knowledge, I certainly didn't want or will not want someone that doesn't have any knowledge in the job at all. At least when I went, I was at least a state representative from Fort Yukon, by the way, a rural area representative. I became a state senator. And I got elected to the Congress, and I had the knowledge then in the legislative process. But take somebody brand new, knows nothing about it, or little knowledge of the communities outside the state, and I say outside the state, out of sight of Anchorage, because that's not Alaska. That's a big city. And it's a very diversified job that occurs in the state, and my job is to try to, again, listen to people. Okay, you have a problem. Let's see, how do we get it done? I do think people should understand this is, again, a very difficult job, one which I relish and cherish, and I'm good at it, and they should vote for Don Young. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Don Young has always been the congressman for all of Alaska.
I'm an Alaskan. A lot of us are pretty darn strong and bold. But in addition to that, I raised my four kids here. I've worked myself through college in every sort of a job, from construction to worked in education, healthcare. I've owned two small businesses. It's important to have a perspective of somebody who's been in a lot of places and had the grit to get through it and still come out in a way that I feel grateful and blessed. And frankly, it's time for me to give back, and I'm not looking to get reelected. I'm looking to get things done. And I think that it's time for Alaska to have somebody like that.
Polls open tomorrow, November 6th at 7 a.m. at Old St. Joe's in Nome. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Katie Kazmierski.